July 18th. As we look into the Old Testament reading today, we'll be reading from the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 24, verse 1. We'll go through chapter 26, verse 11, and we'll see that a beautiful and costly temple is a waste of money unless ministry is going on for the good of God's people and the glory of God. So, before he died, David organized the temple workers and put them under proper leadership. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40 says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." The work of the Lord called for dedicated service from many kinds of people: priests, Levites, musicians, treasurers, gatekeepers, soldiers, and state officers. Each of us has a calling from the Lord, and we must be faithful to take our place and do our job. We're helping to build the church, and we must give God our best. Being a musician himself, David was no doubt especially concerned that the music in the temple be the finest available. God gave him people who were skillful and trained, but their task was not to magnify their talents. They were to glorify their Lord. Do you open and close each day with praise to the Lord? And now let's begin our reading today in the Old Testament. July 18th, the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 12, through chapter 27, verse 34. These divisions of the gatekeepers were named for their family leaders, and like the other Levites, they served at the house of the Lord. They were assigned by families for guard duty at the various gates, without regard to age or training, for it was all decided by means of sacred lots. The responsibility for the east gate went to Meshelemiah and his group. The north gate was assigned to his son Zechariah, a man of unusual wisdom. The south gate went to Obed-Edom, and his sons were put in charge of the storehouse. Shupim and Hosah were assigned the west gate and the gateway leading up to the temple. Guard duties were divided evenly. 6 Levites were assigned each day to the east gate, 4 to the north gate, 4 to the south gate, and 2 pairs at the storehouse. 6 were assigned each day to the west gate, 4 to the gateway leading up to the temple, and 2 to the courtyard. These were the divisions of the gatekeepers from the clans of Korah and Merari. Other Levites, led by Ahijah, were in charge of the treasures of the house of God, and the treasuries of the gifts dedicated to the Lord. From the family of Libni, in the clan of Gershon, Jehiel was the leader. The sons of Jehiel, Zetham and his brother Joel, were in charge of the treasuries of the house of the Lord. These are the leaders that descended from Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. From the clan of Amram, Shebuel was a descendant of Gershon, son of Moses. He was the chief officer of the treasuries. His relatives through Eleazar were Rehabiah, Jeshiah, Joram, Zichri, and Shelemoth. Shelemoth and his relatives were in charge of the treasuries that held all the things dedicated to the Lord by King David, the family leaders, and the generals and captains and other officers of the army. These men had dedicated some of the plunder they had gained in battle to maintain the house of the Lord. Shelemoth and his relatives also cared for the items dedicated to the Lord by Samuel the seer, Saul son of Kish, Abner son of Ner, and Joab son of Zeruiah. All the other dedicated items were in their care too. From the clan of Izhar came Kenaniah. He and his sons were appointed to serve as public administrators and judges throughout Israel. From the clan of Hebron came Hashabiah. He and his relatives, 1,700 capable men, were put in charge of the Israelite lands west of the Jordan River. They were responsible for all matters related to the things of the Lord and the service of the king in that area. Also from the clan of Hebron came Jeriah, who was the leader of the Hebronites according to the genealogical records. In the 40th year of David's reign, a search was made in the records, and capable men from the clan of Hebron were found at Jazer in the land of Gilead. There were 2,700 capable men among the relatives of Jeriah. King David sent them to the east side of the Jordan River and put them in charge of the tribes of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh. They were responsible for all matters related to God and to the king. This is the list of Israelite generals and captains and their officers who served the king by supervising the army divisions that were on duty each month of the year. Each division served for 1 month and had 24,000 troops. Jashobeam, son of Zabdiel, was commander of the first division, which was on duty during the first month. There were 24,000 troops in his division. He was a descendant of Perez and was in charge of all the army officers for the first month. Dodai, a descendant of Ahoah, was commander of the second division, which was on duty during the second month. There were 24,000 troops in his division, and Mikloth was his chief officer. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada the priest, was commander of the third division, which was on duty during the third month. There were 24,000 troops in his division. This was the Benaiah who commanded David's elite military group, known as the 30. His son, Amizabad, was his chief officer. Azahel, the brother of Joab, was commander of the 4th Division, which was on duty during the 4th month. There were 24,000 troops in his division. Azahel was succeeded by his son Zebadiah. Shema, the Izrahite, was commander of the 5th Division, which was on duty during the 5th month. There were 24,000 troops in his division. Ira, son of Ikash from Tekoa, was commander of the 6th Division, which was on duty during the 6th month. There were 24,000 troops in his division. Helez, a descendant of Ephraim from Pelon, was commander of the 7th Division, which was on duty during the 7th month. There were 24,000 troops in his division. Sibekai, a descendant of Zerah from Husha, was commander of the 8th Division, which was on duty during the 8th month. There were 24,000 troops in his division. Abiezer from Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin was commander of the 9th Division, which was on duty during the 9th month. There were 24,000 troops in his division. Maharai, a descendant of Zerah from Netophah, was commander of the 10th Division, which was on duty during the 10th month. There were 24,000 troops in his division. Benaiah from Pirathon in Ephraim was commander of the 11th Division, which was on duty during the 11th month. There were 24,000 troops in his division. Heled, a descendant of Othniel from Netophah, was commander of the 12th Division, which was on duty during the 12th month. There were 24,000 troops in his division. The following were the tribes of Israel and their leaders. The tribe of Reuben was led by Eleazar, son of Zichri. The tribe of Simeon was led by Shephatiah, son of Maacah. The tribe of Levi was led by Hashabiah, son of Kemuel. The tribe of Aaron, the priests, was led by Zadok. The tribe of Judah was led by Elihu, a brother of David. The tribe of Issachar was led by Amri, son of Machiel. The tribe of Zebulun was led by Ishmael, son of Obadiah. The tribe of Ephraim was led by Hoshea, son of Azaziah. The tribe of Manasseh in the west, led by Joel, son of Pedaiah. The tribe of Manasseh in the east, led by Edo, son of Zechariah. The tribe of Benjamin was led by Jaziel, son of Abner. And the tribe of Dan, led by Azarel, son of Jehoram. These were the leaders of the tribes of Israel. When David took his census, he did not count those who were younger than 20 years of age, because the Lord had promised to make the Israelites as numerous as the stars in heaven. Joab began the census but never finished it, because the anger of God broke out against Israel. The final total was never recorded in King David's official records. Asmaveth, son of Adiel, was in charge of the palace treasuries. Jonathan, son of Uzziah, was in charge of the regional treasuries throughout the towns, villages, and fortresses of Israel. Ezrai, son of Kelub, was in charge of the field workers who farmed the king's lands. Shimei,
from Ramah was in charge of the king's vineyards. Zebdi from Shipham was responsible for the grapes and the supplies of wine. Baal-Hanan from Geder was in charge of the king's olive groves and sycamore fig trees in the foothills of Judah. Joash was responsible for the supplies of olive oil. Shitrai from Sharon was in charge of the cattle on the Sharon plain. Shaphat, son of Adlai, was responsible for the cattle in the valleys. Obil, the Ishmaelite, was in charge of the camels. Jediah from Meronoth was in charge of the donkeys. Jaziz, the Hagrite, was in charge of the king's sheep. All these officials were overseers of King David's property. Jonathan, David's uncle, was a wise counselor to the king, a man of great insight and a scribe. Jehiel, the Hakmonite, was responsible to teach the king's sons. Ahithophel was the royal advisor. Hushai, the Archite, was the king's friend. Ahithophel was succeeded by Jehoiada, son of Benaiah, and by Abiathar. Joab was commander of the Israelite army. As we look into the New Testament today, we'll be reading from the book of Romans, chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. We'll see how Abraham was saved. Not by works, but by faith. Salvation is not like wages that you earn or works that you can boast about. Abraham was not saved by keeping the law, because the law had not been given. Nor was he saved by obeying a religious ritual. It was all by God's grace. We'll see how David was saved. You know, David wrote Psalm 32 after his great sin with Bathsheba. Can God forgive a man who commits adultery, deceit, and murder? The answer, of course, is yes. When David repented and turned to God, he was forgiven. Even though the Lord allowed David to feel the bitter consequences of his sins, God justifies the ungodly, not the righteous. And you will see how you can be saved, simply by believing God's promise as Abraham did. Faith and promise go together just as law and works go together. Abraham is the father of the Jewish nation physically, but he is the father of all believers spiritually. At Calvary, our sins were put on Christ's account. When you trust Christ, God puts Christ's righteousness on your account. That's why we call the gospel good news. Now, what can be more blessed than to know that your sins are forgiven? Hallelujah! And with that, let's begin today's reading in the New Testament.
July 18th, the New Testament. Romans chapter 4, verse 13 through chapter 5, verse 5. Clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on his obedience to God's law, but on a right relationship with God that comes by faith. If God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary, and the promise is pointless. For the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. So the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses, if we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. That is what the scriptures mean when God told him, "I have made you the father of many nations." This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life, and who creates new things out of nothing. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, "That's how many descendants you will have." And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises, and because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous.
And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit, it was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in him, the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Today we're reading Psalm 13, verses 1 through 6. Four times David asked, "How long?" He had prayed, but God had hidden himself and not answered. David had examined his heart and knew of no reason why God should abandon him. The longer God waited, the more the enemy would succeed. When you have this same feeling, do what David did and talk to God with an honest and humble heart. Would God be glorified by David's defeat? Would God's cause be helped by David's death? Should the enemy rejoice while God's people suffer? David reasoned with God, but did not try to tell God what to do. You know, sometimes prayer means wrestling. And there was some affirming that went on here. Faith does not always give answers, but it does give encouragement. No matter how successful the enemy appears to be, you can trust the Lord. You can rejoice in the Lord, and you can sing to the Lord and know that he will always deal bountifully with you. Psalm 14, verses 1 through 7. For the choir director, a psalm of David. Only fools say in their hearts, "There is no God." They are corrupt, and their actions are evil. Not one of them does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the entire human race. He looks to see if anyone is truly wise, if anyone seeks God. But no, all have turned away. All have become corrupt. No one does good, not a single one. Will those who do evil never learn? They eat up my people like bread and wouldn't think of praying to the Lord. Terror will grip them, for God is with those who obey him. The wicked frustrate the plans of the oppressed, but the Lord will protect his people. Who will come from Mount Zion to rescue Israel? When the Lord restores his people, Jacob will shout with joy, and Israel will rejoice. Proverbs 19, verse 17. If you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord, and he will repay you.